We're going to do what? Oh, yeah, this is Allie's last Sunday, y'all. Hey, can I ask you for a favor? I hate to put you on the spot, but as someone who's gone all the way through rush hour from 6th grade to 12th grade, can you sit up here and say something about how it's impacted your life?
And don't say it hasn't. Or do you want to look for
it? Right now. Then we're gonna lay hands on her and pray. Yeah, just or turn around so that people can see your pretty face.
Okay. Well.
Hey, hold on, real quick, just to let y'all know, I met Allie when she was in 5th grade. When she was in 5th grade, I wasn't even serving in rush hour yet. I had actually just started serving in TKO and game the year she moved from 4th to 5th. Actually, right before 5th grade, the summer before she went to 5th. And I loved the 5th grade boys and girls so much that I moved up with them in the rush hour because, just to let y'all know, I had probably the craziest crop of guys you could imagine who they're probably in prison, some of them. Some of them are doing well, but they're not really in prison. But I had this crazy crop of kids that I felt were being yelled at constantly, and I really wanted to be a part of their life. And that's when I knew I was called to be a part of youth ministry, was when I met Allie in that crop. So just to let y'all know, me and Allie have gone through all of rush hour. I've been by her side as the middle school leader when I first started volunteering, to high school leader, to the youth pastor. So her and I have a very long history together. And so if you would share something that you feel rush hour, or you know, you feel impacted and blessed, so that they know what rush hour can do.
Let's see, where to begin with rush hour? Well, obviously, if you come every Sunday, you're going to make relationships, and these relationships will last forever because they're in God and they're in Christ, and that way your relationships really build, you can build each other up. And what's that verse with the swords? They sharpen each other?
Yeah, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Proverbs. I don't know, but yeah, iron sharpens iron.
That's completely true. Like, I met Hannah through rush hour, and we don't go to the same high school. We don't talk very often, but every Sunday, like, we'll go out to lunch, and her and I both know what's going on in each other's lives. And through rush hour, I went through a really hard time through high school, and through rush hour, I was able to, like, get through it, and I had Rachel, and I had Timmy, and I had all these other leaders to lean on and really share that with, and so I didn't have to go through it by myself. And rush hour is a really safe place that you can be yourself, and whatever you're going through, like, you can tell them, and they can help in tremendous ways. They can pray for you and, like, show you what to read, so that way not only are they helping you, but they can help you, like, go to God with it. So that's it.
Sweet. All right, homegirl, sit down and let's pray for you. Hey, and if y'all would, it's bigger than college, because just to let y'all know, Allie's going to college to be a missionary. So lift this girl up to you, man, as she continues to pursue that future. All right? Allie, I'm proud of you, girl. So proud of you. Just to let y'all know, Dylan, too. I've had an opportunity to be with Dylan since he was in 7th grade and Hannah, 8th grade. And Hannah came in when she was in about 8th grade, man. And just to tell you, it's amazing to see these three students. First of all, they stayed in rush hour, and now they're grounded. They're grounded in the Lord. The students that you see that backed out of rush hour, they're doing okay. They could be doing so much better for themselves. So with that being said, before I do anything else, let's pray. And then I'm going to start hanging out with you guys and sharing some scripture and getting in the word. You dig? Cassie, you with me? Okay. Heavenly Father, God, I just want to lift this day to you, Lord. And I just want to pray for your Holy Spirit right now to work and to move through each and every person in this room, whether we're in 6th grade or whether we're 31, God. I just want your Holy Spirit to work and to move and to teach us the word and to guide us in the things of you. Lord, we love you. In your son Jesus' name, amen. We bring the lights down? Just to let y'all know, we're in our series right now called what? Oh, see, we're not used to saying conquerors. We're so used to saying legends because we only had, 16 weeks of legends? Something crazy. Right now, we're in our series called? And what we're doing in this series is we're going over the life of the 12 disciples. And what we're going to do is allow you guys to learn how they had a life and they conquered animosity, rejection, jail, and even death to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to be honest, it's the reason we have the gospel right here today. It's because these guys worked so hard through the Holy Spirit and were obedient to the Holy Spirit that no matter whether they face death, jail, hatred, or whatever, we have the gospel here today. The Apostle Peter is who we're talking about today. And a specific moment in the life of Peter that you guys are going to apply to your life. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over a brief history lesson of Peter and then a brief moment in his life that I want you guys to apply today. And just to let you know, I'm going to be talking at you today. The last couple weeks, I want you to know I'm bringing up some heavy topics and some heavy things that are pretty meaty that I want you to carry out of these doors so that when you're out there in the real world, you know how to overcome and you know how to conquer the things of this world. So some of you might disagree with what I have to say today. Some of you may agree. Either way, I want you to absorb everything that I'm saying today. You ready?
Yeah.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Great. Damn, man. Y'all, it's amazing how y'all go from blah, blah, blah to nothing. I love it, though, because I guess y'all won't talk during my message, hopefully. All right. The Apostle Peter may have been the most outspoken of the 12 apostles in Jesus' ministry on earth. He certainly became one of the boldest witnesses for faith. Boldest. His beginnings were certainly humble in origin. He was born in about 1 BC, and he died around 67 AD. Peter was originally named what? Come on, Peter's name, man. Simon. And it was Jesus that changed Peter's name to Peter, which means rock. Just to let y'all know, man, Jesus changed his name to mean rock. John 1, 42 through 43, it says, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means rock. He was a Galilean fisherman and was the brother of? Oh my gosh, the brother of Andrew. Good job, PK. The brothers came from the village of Bethesda, and Peter was also married. Just to let y'all know, Peter had a wife, and even at the end, they even say, when you look in the history, actual history books, not in the Bible, but when you study Josephus, it says that his family suffered before he did. That Nero, the Roman emperor at that time, couldn't stand Christianity so bad and couldn't stand Peter so much that he took out his entire family first and made him watch. And he still hung upside down. Peter would also be the start of the church, which hopefully I'll go over in just a second. Because one thing, and another thing that he is credited with is his special insight that he had concerning Jesus' identity. He was the first disciple. He was the first person to call Jesus the Son of the Living God. He was the first person to call Jesus the Messiah. Peter was bold, but oftentimes he was in the wrong, meaning he's like me. This guy would speak first and he would think later. He would say things he didn't mean, and they come back to haunt him sometimes. Once, he even rebuked the Lord and said that he was willing to die for Jesus. Him and Jesus got in a little bit of argument, and Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. He's like, yeah, right, I'll die for you. No one can stop me. But what did Jesus do? He said, nope, when I go through these things, at the sound of the rooster, you will deny me three times. And did that come true?
Yeah.
Came true, and he totally was arguing with Jesus about it. So, now, let's look at Peter the disciple. What did I tell y'all disciple means? Follower of. And that was a moment. Better yet, let me rewind. Let me slow down. Just to let y'all know, a follower. That is what Christians are supposed to be today. You and I, at the moment we accept Christ and acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior, we are called to be followers. But I'm here to tell y'all, we don't have that in the church right now. A lot of times the churches are up here and they're giving you this feel-good message. They're speaking about, hey, you know, Jesus is nothing but love. Yes, Jesus is love, but there's all these other parts of the word that they're leaving out to have a feel-good message and make you guys feel good about yourself and not let you know the complete truth. You guys, we're called to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're called to go through crazy stuff and still proclaiming his name at the end of the day. Okay? Jesus tells the disciples, before he ascends into heaven. Last week I talked about the ascension. The ascension was Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the grave and he hung out with the disciples for 40 days. Okay, he hung out with them for 40 days. And after those 40 days, he left. And this is the last thing he said to them in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is where it all starts to happen. It was at this moment where the disciples were getting ready for war. It was at this moment where Peter knew he was destined for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter was the first one to preach on the day of Pentecost after the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he was the first one to proclaim Christ to a Gentile. Peter. Okay, here we are. We have this guy who is absolutely speak first, think later, made many mistakes, would deny Jesus three times, hung out with Jesus for 40 days after Christ's ascension, and Christ said, "You guys will become disciples." And it was at that moment where Peter woke up. Peter had a revelation of, this is what I'm called to do. So when I say at Pentecost, Jesus promised he would be sending a comforter. He would be sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on Peter. It entered earth and entered human mankind at Pentecost. And Jesus taught the first sermon at that moment. At that moment. It was at this moment where the disciples would get ready for war. Oh, and explaining it to a Gentile. Just to let you know, at first when they started spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were only talking to Jews. They thought that Jews were the only ones that could come to know Christ. But Peter not only was the first person to preach the gospel, he was the first person to share it with a Gentile. He was one of the boldest apostles of all. He willingly suffered persecution. He willingly suffered imprisonment, beatings. And he even rejoiced at the fact that he was worthy to suffer disgrace for the Lord's sake. Do you hear what I'm saying? He was praising God when he would be beaten. He was praising God when he was in jail. Paul says the same thing to the church in Philippi. Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Peter, Paul, these disciples, in the moment of true trials and tribulations in their life, which we've all gone through. How many of y'all have gone through something crazy in your life? Right? When we're going through crazy times in our life, are we turning our back on our Lord, or are we rejoicing in him? I got to be honest. There's times I definitely fail at that. There's times where financial strife happens and tension happens in my life, and I'm nervous and I get scared. But God will always provide. No matter what we are going through today, are we rejoicing? Are we rejoicing? In the days leading up to Peter's death, almost all of the apostles had been martyred. Up until Peter's death, almost all of them had been martyred. Some would even say that Peter knew he would die by crucifixion because Jesus actually predicted Peter's death when he said this in John 21, 18 through 29. "I assure you, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go." He said this to signify by what kind of death he would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, "Follow me." Listen, he calls Peter, tells Peter to follow him, and at the same time, he tells him how he's going to die. And Peter does what? What does Peter do? He follows him. Peter would be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified in the way the Lord Jesus Christ had been. Peter went from an arrogant, cocky man of thunder and would become a humble, willing, obedient servant of the Lord, even to his death. He rejoiced in the day of his death, knowing he would be reunited with his beloved Savior. Do we love Jesus enough? Do we understand the cross enough that when we're faced with persecution, when we're faced with, how many of us, man, y'all are young, you guys aren't going to be so much persecuted as far as death. But when you're persecuted with the things of that you go through in life, are you rejoicing to the point where I even have to check my life and go, if I was at the moment of death because of the gospel, would I be okay to go home? Would I be that bold enough to go, take me out. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Do we love him that much? This was a lifetime of 65 years, of which his last 40 would be devoted to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. The lowly fishermen. Fishermen, when I say the lowly fishermen, just to let you know, fishermen were grunts. They were hard workers. They made very little money, a very low income. And he became this mighty fisher of men. Mighty fisher of men. And one that changed and shaped the world forever. And he still, just to let y'all know, Peter's still spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the book of Acts and through 1st and 2nd Peter, he's still changing lives. Like, how many of y'all came to my main service message? Paul was changing my life even 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years after he had passed away. The disciples are still spreading the gospel. So there you go. There's a brief history lesson on the life of Peter. Now I want to take a moment in the life of Peter and ask, do you have what it takes today to get out of the boat? How many of y'all have ever heard the story of Peter and walking on water? That's what we're going to talk about today. Do you have what it takes to get out of the boat today? Talking about when I ask, do you have what it takes to get out of the boat? I want you to think of Peter's life. I want you to think of all the things he's ever gone through, all the persecution he's ever faced, all the times he's been in prison, to hanging upside down on a cross for his Lord and Savior. If you guys are with me, man, let's think about today and let's focus on getting out of the boat. That leads us to Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. He was teaching to the crowds. There was a lot of people around. He's like, you guys go. I'll catch up to you. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already over a mile from land. So here we are. Even after he dismissed the crowds, he went on top of the mountain and he prayed. And the boat was already ahead of him a mile. A mile. Battered by the waves because the wind was against them, around 3 a.m, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter answered him, command me to come to you on the water. So here he is. That's a whole nother sermon. He's testing God. And when I say test God, I don't mean test him, like if he is God, but test him to be open enough to talk to him and communicate with him the things you're going through in life. Test him with your struggles. Test him with, like Travis's sermon today, test him with something in your life that no human being can change and allow him to change it. That's what Peter did. Come, he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. What we have here is a man that for a hot second will be so in tune with the Lord. Would be so in tune with his creator, a man that would be so focused on the eyes of Jesus that he would have the faith to step out of a boat in a storm and walk on water. On water. Do y'all understand the faith that had to happen there? In the middle of a storm with Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, though, because all the distractions of the storm, because of his fear of the storm, he would take his eyes off of Jesus. And the moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus Christ, what happened? He began to sink. You know, that's a lot like us. That's a lot like my life. That's a lot like our life. So my question for you today is, what is keeping your focus? What is keeping your focus off of Jesus Christ? What distractions do you have that is keeping you from stepping out of the boat and keeping you from the faith of walking on water? Walking on water. Really meaning keeping you from experiencing Christ in a real and personal way. First, is it your friends? Are your friends such a distraction? Do the people you hang around keep you distracted from a real and personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you're in this room and you know Christ, you are not to be influenced by your friends, but you are to help point them to Christ. And if they don't know him, and more than likely, if they are distracting you from Christ, if they're distracting you from Christ, they don't know him. They don't know him. You see, the people you hang around that don't know Christ, you are called by him to minister to them. They became a mission field. So how many of you go to school? How many of you are in public school? How many of you, you know what, I don't care what school system you're in. You hang around people. And some of you start to build friendships with people who don't know Christ. Okay? Am I correct? How many of you have friends that don't know Christ? How many of you, the majority of your friends, don't know Christ? That's your mission field. Your friends become your mission field. God has put them in your life for you to minister to them, for you to have an opportunity for them to see Jesus. Meaning, you don't agree with the way they live. You don't agree with the way they live. And you don't conform to the same habits as them. But you love them, and you be there for them, and you point them to the Word. The other day, I had to go to a funeral, and I have a Buck Wild family. My family is a family of, I grew up on Saturday mornings pitching horseshoes, eating crabs, and drinking lots of beer and lots of alcohol, lots of herb, and that's my lifestyle. And of course, that was my lifestyle. And I had to go visit this family, go into this funeral around that same family. And let me tell y'all, I was nervous. I was very nervous to go hang with them. And to the point where I even called Travis. I was like, bro, they're all going to this cookout afterwards. I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm going to go. He's like, man, pray about it. Make sure you're not supposed to go. So I go to the funeral, and I'm seeing my aunts and uncles, these people that they're only a couple years older than me because my grandfather had more kids when he was younger, when he was like 50, but because he was buck wild. But I came in contact with my aunts and uncles, and I was hanging with them, and they're like, Timmy, you coming to the cookout afterwards? And immediately I couldn't say no. I was like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. And immediately my other uncle came to me. He's like, you ready to go get drunk? And I'm like, I don't drink. He's like, wait, what? I was like, yeah, I don't drink. I haven't drank in 5 years, Brian. Where you been? He's like, you don't drink. You still coming? And I was like, yeah, I'll be there. So I get there, okay, and I'm nervous at first, and everyone is there. And they're like, Timmy, oh my gosh, you've grown up. You know, what's going on in your life? Talk to us, talk to us. And I had an opportunity to tell them what I do. And do you know that each and every one of them were bragging that that's their nephew? They were like, that's my nephew. Tim, I'm so glad you're doing well for yourself. And there was a hot second where Satan was telling me, do not go and hang with them. Do not go and hang with them. And I had an opportunity to influence them. And guess what we did? We pitched horseshoes. They drank beer. They were eating crabs. They had this cookout. And I was there. And I was able to start influencing them. Instead of falling back into drinking beer while pitching horseshoes, I didn't have to do any of that. All I had to do was be there. I had an awesome experience with them. Now, let's not forget what I said last week. Remember, if you love the Lord and you focus on him, that's when you truly become a good friend anyway. Who remembers that scripture that I shared last week about becoming a true disciple? Anybody remember? In Luke. In Luke, it talks about if you hate your parents, you love me. If anyone hates their mother and father, not meaning you're supposed to go home and hate your mother and father, but meaning if you let go of loving them in a worldly way and coming to God and learning how to be a good son and how to love your parents or your friends properly, you become a real disciple. It's until you come to Christ where you truly become a good friend anyway. Proverbs 12:26 says this. The godly give good advice to their friends. You guys are in here. If you're in here and you know Christ, you give good advice to your friends. But listen to this. The wicked lead them astray. So not only are you to lead your friends to Christ, but you're not to lead them astray. How many of you in here are hanging with your friends? You call yourself a Christ follower, and you're leading them down the wrong path. You are to be a godly influence to your friends. You may be the only Jesus they see. you may be their only opportunity that they have to know Christ. Are your friends causing you to sink? Here's another one. What about relationships? Are you so focused on so-and-so or that person that you think may be it in your life that you're distracted from Jesus? Or are you so focused on who that so-and-so may be in your life that you're not focused on the Lord? How many of you are so focused on relationships right now that you're not focused on the Lord? You know, there's nothing sillier, and I may hurt y'all's feelings up in here, but forgive me. There's nothing sillier, more distracting, more ridiculous than middle school and high school relationships. And I'm so sorry I'm saying that, but this is why. This is why. And I'm only telling you this because I've been there, all 56 relationships that I probably had in middle school and high school. Do you understand? 50-something. 50-something. We're ridiculous. We're what I thought was love and ended as shallow with little feelings that I took too far and ended up getting hurt or hurting someone else. If you're in middle school and high school today, man, I'm here to tell you that this is silly. It's absolutely silly if you're in here and you think you're man enough or woman enough to be in a relationship. Maybe you're in here chasing every feeling you have. You're going from girlfriend to girlfriend or boyfriend to boyfriend. Maybe some of you in here are just asking every single person you come in contact with to be your boyfriend or girlfriend. Many of us do, or I remember in middle school, I'd have a feeling towards a girl. Hey, will you be my girlfriend? Hey, will you be my girlfriend? Not boyfriend, sorry. Will you be my girlfriend? Chasing every little fleeting thought to be in a relationship. All because I was trying to fill a void that only Jesus could fill in the first place. That's what y'all are doing. Y'all are trying to fill a void in your heart that only Jesus can fill anyway. I'm going to stop right there and talk about my wife. My wife. Just to let y'all know, my wife was single. From the moment she came to know Christ, she was like, okay, I'm done with relationships, and I'm going to wait for Jesus to bring me my husband. And she has this beautiful testimony of 6 years of staying away from men and broken relationships to allowing God to bring me to her, to allowing me and her to come in contact here at Nye River Community Church. She waited 6 years as a grown woman, a grown woman. If she can do it as a grown woman, I'm sure my middle schoolers can do it. High schoolers, too. I'm sure you high school peeps can figure it out. You can wait. You can wait. This isn't the way God intended relationships. He didn't create men and women to be going from relationship to relationship. He is very clear that there is to be a husband and a wife together forever. When asked about marriage, Jesus says this in Matthew 19:6. Since there are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Can I tell you in here today, this is how man and woman you have to be. When it comes to marriage, marriages aren't what you see out of these doors. When you leave out of these doors today, marriage is a false sense of what God intended. It's horrible. It's horrible. 50% is the divorce rate here in America. And it's because we go into marriages thinking that our wife or our husband is supposed to fill a need in our life. And that's not true. Listen to this. I want y'all to write this down. Marriage is a perfect example of what Christ did on the cross of sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his life for me. Guess what marriage is? You're sacrificing your life for your husband or wife. I promise you that. If you go in there thinking, homegirl, her and I, we are perfectly joined because we think the same, we act the same. Wrong. Y'all do for a hot second because y'all have them little butterflies going. Let me tell you, that hits a dead end real quick. I've been married 9 years, and let me tell you, the last 7 are staying together because I'm focused completely on Jesus Christ. That's what makes marriage work. Because my wife is focused on Jesus Christ and doesn't come home in the evening and go, my husband owes me this. She goes, the Bible tells me to love my husband like this. You understand what I'm saying? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? And if you don't understand it, go to the Word. I promise you, it's in the Word. And that's the way marriage is. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. If you're in here and one day you know the Lord and your wife knows the Lord, there's no divorce. There's no divorce. And that's what I believe. That's what Jesus is saying right there. But guess what? If you're in here and you know Christ, and you're in a relationship one day where the other person doesn't know Christ, I'm not saying divorce is good, but I'm letting you know that that person may think that divorce is okay because you're yoking together two different beliefs. They might think, well, everyone's getting divorced. I can leave you. So be careful even in those kind of relationships where you know Christ and they don't, because they're not going to look at you the way that you look at them, because you're going to the Word and they're not. And they're not. If you all would slow down and stay focused on Christ, you will be amazed at the man or woman he has in store for you. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. Slow down and be so focused on him and allow Jesus in this time to cultivate that boyfriend and girlfriend or future husband and wife that he has waiting for you. Just to let y'all know, Jesus right now knows who you're going to marry. He knows what that looks like, and he's cultivating. If you're a girl in here, he's creating a soldier. He is creating a Christian soldier for you. And if you are a man in here, he is creating this beautiful, godly woman for you. Slow down and be ready for that. Be patient for that. There's nothing more beautiful. In the meantime, instead of jumping around from relationship to fulfill this little void in your heart, go to Christ. Hang with your friends. Come here. Come here. Another thing, y'all might disagree with me on this too. What about movies, video games, and music? Are you filling your hearts with negative things of this world from video games, music, and movies? I want y'all to think of this. Write this in. Write this down. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Meaning as you continue to fill your eyes and heart with negativity, foul language, murder, drinking, drugs, and impurity, that is what is going to come out of your mouth and lifestyle. Listen to this scripture from Psalms 1:1-3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join with mockers. If you're in here today and you got the new Miley Cyrus CD, can I just say that you are agreeing with the things that she says and you're standing around with mockers? And you're not preaching to mockers. You're not loving them. And I'm not, you can listen to mainstream music all you want, but I'm here to tell you that that negativity, as it comes in, it's going to bleed right out of you. It's going to bleed right out of you. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. These verses from Psalms are rich with many principles, but let's focus on the topic at hand. A person is blessed when they refrain from exposing themselves to ungodliness. Or in other words, when they keep themselves from the garbage of this world. If you keep yourselves away from the garbage of this world, it says you will be like a river or a tree planted by the river. Meaning you're constantly having a flow of water, allowing you to grow and be strong and powerful. The blessing of God comes from meditating on the law or the word of God. And not just occasionally, but continually, day and night. The next time you think about focusing on a mainstream video game or a mainstream song or a secular movie that could be giving you some garbage. And you know what? I'm guilty of it too, man. I'm not talking at you on this one, because there's things that I've been uprooting from my life when it comes to this too. But instead, change it with the word or something that would fill you, like something that glorifies the Lord. Like take secular music and whatever type you like, whether it's hip hop, punk, screamo, whatever you like, and change it with something that glorifies the Lord. If it's a type of movie you like, find something that glorifies the Lord in that same genre of movies you like. Video games. Be careful with the type of video games you play. You know, if you play video games that promote murder, I don't know. Maybe that might be the cause of something that happens to you in the future or the way you think about people. If you're playing video games that talk about drugs and alcohol all the time, maybe that makes you think that that's how you're supposed to live. That's how we're supposed to live. I don't forgot my spot. Focus on the things of God. Allow it, uproot the things of this world and apply the things of God day and night. So this meditation, it isn't a thing you do, but rather it's a way of life. When I get up in the mornings, I read and pray. When I'm listening to music in my house, it's Christian music. When I try to pop in a movie, not true. Movies is where I fall bad. I try not to watch something too crazy like rated R movies, but occasionally I do break down and watch a rated R movie. But those are things that I'm still trying to uproot in my life. Video games, I don't even play video games unless it's a sports game with my kids. That's it. I won't play any other video games. I don't have time for it. And I'm scared to watch video games nowadays. They got video games that have all kinds of bad stuff. The Apostle Paul outlines a similar principle in Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. You know what? The next time you think of a song or a movie, think of this. Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? And is it admirable? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Excellent and worthy of praise. The point is that if we fill our hearts and minds with godly things, our thoughts begin to center around godly things. Listen, let me say that one more time. If we fill our hearts and minds with godly things, our thoughts begin to center around godly things. Will you black the, just hit the blackout? Yeah, Satan is in the booth. Which comes back to meditation. Meditation is nothing more than thinking on purpose, and we think throughout the day. And prayer is nothing more than communication with God, and we can share our every thought and action with Him. So you see, meditation is not a thing to do, but rather a way to be. Be purposefully keeping our mind on the things of God, and we become more godly. Your lifestyles shine more godly. Okay? Our lifestyles will scream, wow, that's a good Christian home. Or, man, that's a good Christian man. Or, that's a good Christian woman. After all, we are what we think. Now, how do we start focusing? And how do we stay focused on the Lord so we don't stink? Or sink. I just said stink. So we don't stink. Which, I guess you could say that. And, you know, that's technically true in a sense, but how do we stay so focused on the Lord like Peter did when he first got out of the boat so that we don't sink? So we don't sink. Number one, I used to say this every number one I've always been saying. Can anyone tell me what it is? Get in the word. You get in the word, and I really mean it. Don't just sit here and take my word for it. Get into your Bibles and study these things for yourselves. I never, ever, ever, ever have you ever heard me say, don't get into your Bibles, believe everything I tell you. I've never said that. You know, there's some beliefs out there that tell you that. I'm telling you, get in your word and study that joint. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction. It's written for our instruction so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures. The word is our guide for life. The word is our guide for encouragement. We must be in our Bibles to know how God wants us to live. Without it, you have no idea where you're going. You have no idea where you're going. Why? Psalm 19:105 says this, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light of my path. Is your path this evening lit? Is God guiding your steps? Are you guys in the word? If you're in here today and you don't even have a Bible, please tell me. We're giving them away like crazy. Bob just got like 20 boxes of Bibles. If you need the word, actually, better yet, if you need a word, let me know. We'll go pick you one out at Lifeway. How many of y'all have had an opportunity to go to Lifeway and pick out a Bible? Yeah, if you're in here today and you don't have a Bible or you want to study Bible, please let me know. We'll go get that. Is your path lit this evening? Or are you on a dark road to nowhere? Dark road to nowhere. Number two, I always say this, pray. Pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. John 15:7 says, but if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and you will be granted. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Luke 18:1 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Pray. Please spend time with the Lord. He is your creator. He desires a very personal relationship with you. And you should do the same for him. If you're happy, tell him. If you're mad, tell him. If you're sad, tell him. Fuss with him. Just go to him and talk to him. Talk to him. And last, get out of the boat. Take a step of faith and allow God to fully have your life. Allow Jesus to have your friendships. Give Jesus your friendships. Give Jesus your pain, your suffering, relationships, and your complete lives. Have your eyes so fixed on Jesus that you would live that of a disciple and not allowing the distractions of this world to allow you to sink. Can I just say, even though Peter started to sink, the moment he started preaching at Pentecost, can I just tell y'all, he never looked back and probably never started to sink again. His eyes were so fixed on Jesus, probably because he looked back to that moment in his life and was like, man, I had an opportunity to stay so fixed on him, and I didn't. But now I will. I will. I'll stay so focused on him. And that's why we have the gospel here today. 2 Corinthians 5:6-9. I believe I'm going to leave y'all with this scripture today. This is the last scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:6-9. So we are always confident, Christians. If you're in here and you know Christ, we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. You guys, this ain't our home. This is not our home. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord to the point where if we're even facing death, are we willing to praise God and be ready to go home? So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, this is our goal always, to please him. To please him. So let's focus on the Lord so that we can grow this ministry, so that we can grow Rush Hour, so that we can grow Night River. And more importantly, because it ain't about Night River and it ain't about Rush Hour. That's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is allowing people to come to know Jesus Christ through you. All of you are disciples. You are conquerors. You're called in Matthew 28, just like the 12 at that time, to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ through animosity, through hatred. You will be persecuted. I promise. You will be persecuted. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just want to say thank you so much for your word today, God. And I just pray that we would take this sermon, God, and we would allow it to enter our hearts to the point, God, where we're not ashamed, that we wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's nothing to be ashamed of, God. You've given us an opportunity to live forever with you in eternity. And I pray that we would turn that shame into a focus of, we want everyone to know that they have an opportunity to go to heaven forever. That, Lord, we wouldn't allow the distractions of this world to keep us at bay, to keep us low, to keep us in the valleys, and to keep us from focusing on you, God. That we would be so focused on you, we could overcome loneliness. We could overcome not telling our friends at school about you. That we could overcome a fear of getting out of the boat. Lord, we love you. In your son Jesus' name, amen.